You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
And I am your fill-in co-host, Ginger Avenger.
Yes, Brad is somewhere. I mean, he doesn't know where he is half the time. It's just like, Yeah, I got tired of waiting. You saw the same movie I did, so I was like, hey, let's go ahead and record this shit and be ahead in life for once in a millennia.
It's so nice to be wanted around. It really is. It's so nice to be wanted.
So this is the point of the show where I normally ask Brad, hey, what are we smoking this week? But he's not here, so I'm smoking the Dias de Gloria Brazil, which is Spanish for glory days. And like I said, the Dias de Gloria, they did a previous version 5 years ago. This is the new Brazilian one, made in AJ's factory in Esteli with a blend of Nicaraguan fillers and a Nicaraguan binder. But here's where the Brazilian comes in. Draped in an oily Brazilian Matafina wrapper.
Where's Esteli? I don't think I've ever heard of that one.
It's kind of like the main cigar producing area of Nicaragua. Mm. I don't have a Nicaraguan map on me, so I can't like...
You learn something new every day. I'll have to Google that later.
Literally the only city in Nicaragua I know of, so I can't just say, yeah, that's like, you know, 50 miles north of this, because I mean, I don't know. it's in Nicaragua. That's all I know.
I'll have to Google that later.
But AJ Fernandez, you know, has not made a bad cigar. He's kind of, we always joke around and say he's kind of like the mercenary of the cigar industry, because if anybody like needs like a good cigar, they always just get AJ to come in and blend it for him. But then occasionally, you know, he does his own shit, and like I said, this is, you know, an AJ cigar. I'm hoping he saves the best shit for his own company, and then like, you know, the stuff he does for everybody else is just...
If you get called in on other people's shit, why would you not? Why would you not?
Yeah, but this thing's going to be a kind of a medium plus. Notes of pepper, cedar. Mostly savory, but just a kind of just a hit of sweetness. Natural sweetness. But, you know, you got to go on the road to get some of these. The Fury Road.
Nice segue, dear.
So this week, we're going to be talking about Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. You know, if you add a couple extra words to that title, it's like, you know, fucking, not the longest movie title, but it's getting there. It's not as bad as Master and Commander on the Far Side of the World,
say,
or
fucking
whatever.
What?
You never seen that movie?
No.
With Russell Crowe is like a...
Say fucking what?
It's Master and Commander on the Far Side of the... Or something like that. It was like the title of this movie. It was a 3-hour movie anyway, but the title was like 4 sentences long. It was
Jesus
fucking
Christ.
Ridiculous. But if you've got to go on the Fury Road, you should call on the Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order. You know, comes in a nice tin pouch.
Fucking need to do that too.
Fill up the back
while
of the semi.
I'm thinking about it.
What?
All right, I'll do that later. Remind me later. I need to order some because I need to do that.
So that's what we're discussing this week. That's what we're smoking this week. And we'll be right back with the main show.
As a child, my world was forever changed. My mother was magnificent. And he took it all from me.
Who do we have here?
She's from a place of abundance. This is our destiny.
My childhood. My mother. I want them back.
I want them back!
Whatever you have to do, however long it takes, promise you'll find your way home.
And welcome back to the podcast. It's time to get furious.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, dear. I'm always furious.
Furiosa.
That's my secret. I'm always angry, Cap. Anyway, back to your favorite alien-looking super actress.
Yes, Miss Anya Taylor-Joy. So, yeah, I remember, I don't know, a few years ago, we did a show on the Fury Road, the next, whatchamacallit?
Mad Max Interpol?
Yeah, so, didn't have the camera rolling there, apparently.
Oops.
So, this is going to be fun syncing the audio to the video when I'm missing about a minute of audio.
Good job. You have fun with that.
So,
I'm just here for shits and giggles and personality. I'm the personality hire. I am not the tech expert. That's your job.
So, yeah. Welcome in, YouTube. You're about a minute behind the audio, listeners, but, yeah.
You didn't miss much. It's fine. You didn't miss much.
Yeah, so Mad Max on the Fury Road was...
Fucking A?
On the Furry Road. There's a bunch of furries out there chasing people around.
Fuck you. Fuck you. No.
I don't think furries would survive in the Australian desert.
You know how I fucking feel about furries. Uh-uh. Nope. Nope, thank you very much. I just keep knocking in the fucking table here and vibrating shit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then we got the movie that we didn't know we needed, which is a prequel to the On the Fury Road, showing the origin story of...
Furiosa.
Furiosa, a.k.a. Charlize Theron's character from Mad Max Fury Road.
I didn't realize that's who played her, the person.
Yep.
I guess I have to watch the movie again. It's been a long time.
I think so, because, like, you know, when we were watching, you were, like, asking questions, like... Who is this? What's that? I'm like, did you not watch the first movie?
It's been a long time. I haven't watched any of the Mad Max movies in a long time, except Thunderdome and Tina Turner. And that's because I like my 80s nostalgia shit.
All right, so we had Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had The Road Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Beyond Thunderdome, which
was fucking awesome.
The one with Tina Turner, the last... Mel Gibson version.
That's true.
And then several years later, and all these have been done by the same writer-director, George Miller, brought a whole new Mad Max to the big screen. And I gotta say, speaking of 80s, like, Fury Road was cool because it was like the technology had advanced so far, but they still used... mostly practical effects, like those big ass vehicles and shit. Like, they really built those vehicles and had people like freaking hanging off of, like, you know,
the dude with the guitars was like actually hanging off of a vehicle, moving vehicle.
That thing came to like the premiere in Australia.
Oh,
like,
fuck.
That whole vehicle was practical and like really worked. And those, the war boys, they're like jumping off of things and swinging from sticks and ropes. Mm-hmm. Like, they all did that shit. Like, CGI was just used to, like, enhance and basically, like, you know, the nasty weather and whatnot.
Clean it up and make it look a little better.
But, yeah, like, as far as, like, the vehicle goes and, like, the human stunt works, all that shit was, like, practically done.
Well, that's cool.
See, that's one thing I didn't... in this movie, and, like, so we'll start getting into specifics here a little bit. We show the... construction of their first, like, war wagon, because, you know, basically, as we saw in the, like, Immortan Joe kind of runs, he has, like, two counterparts. There's the guys who make the gas, there's the guys who make the bullets, Bullet Town, Gas Town, and then the Citadel, which they're, you know, Immortan Joe runs, which produces food, water, and mother's milk.
And, which, you know, they never actually explain what the fuck it is.
It's fucking milk. Like, all the ladies that are no longer good for breeding, they just produce milk. You didn't see the scene where they had the room with the large ladies all hooked up, like, milking to milking stations?
No.
Yeah, you must have, like...
I gotta watch this movie again. I must have missed something.
Yeah, I mean, that was in the newest one, too. Like, yeah.
No, I missed that part.
So, yeah, that milk is legit, like, mother's milk. That's not a euphemism for anything. They're legit milking ladies.
You don't produce unless you have gotten pregnant.
Well, yeah, because, like, if you... Because they didn't show it in the first one, but in this one of his brides that he keeps in his vault... produces a mutant child, and they're like, this is your third non-viable child, so you're no longer a wife, you know, you're going to the milking, becoming a milkmaid. So yeah, any of the wives that fail to produce him viable offspring then become milkers.
I mean, technically, if you have been pregnant or delivered a child, even if it didn't live, as long as somebody keeps pulling on it, you'll keep producing.
So yeah, that's what how those ladies end up if they're not producing children, they go to the milk farm. But yeah, anyway. So yeah, as they start getting kind of harassed by the roving gangs when they're trying to do their trading between Gas, Bullet, and the Citadel, they decide to build their first like war wagon, and we get this whole like
18-wheeler with like
this whole like, you know, gear up montage of them
in the back.
Them building this armored semi. I want to see if we get another like prequel movie, I want to see them building the Doof Warriors truck.
Is that the one with the guitar guy?
Yes, and the giant speakers. It's like, you know, this whole war wagon thing's pretty cool, but what I really need is a guy to follow me around and play guitar solos when we go out into the Badlands.
I mean, if your life is entirely fucked and you live in an oasis in the middle of the desert, you might as well do what you want to do. I would love to have, you know, my own musical team to provide me with a soundtrack of my life. That'd be great.
So I want the video of them building that contraption.
It's an intimidation factor. That's what it is. We're going to go with it anyway.
I forgot who it was, too, but I think, like, the guy in, the, like, Fury Road was, like, an actual, like...
Oh, shit. My bad.
Australian, like, rock star of some kind. I can't remember what his name was.
Well, that's what we have Google for.
But, yeah, so this starts off with a young Furiosa played by Alyla... Alyla Brown as the younger version of Furiosa.
Okay, the guitar playing guy in Fury Road is musician and artist Sean Hape, who goes by the stage name Iota.
Alrighty then.
That's just what I'm getting.
Like I said, some Australian musical guy that, yeah. Any of our Aussie listeners probably know who that is, but I'm not familiar with him, but I appreciated his his truck mounted guitar work.
Mm-hmm. Australian musician Iota. So I don't know.
Yeah, because we.
So if you're in the Aussie land, you know, shout out and let us know who this is.
Because in the first movie, the plot was Furiosa was Immortan Joe's like
right hand woman, basically
drove his battle wagon to, you know, pick up, and you know, her whole thing is she was Imperator Furiosa, was trying to get back to the place where apparently she came from, a land that was untouched by the
savages of all the psychotic gangs.
Well, that and the, yeah, nuclear war that basically turned the world into a desert. She's still in, as they called it, the green place. And her trying to get back there. But in this movie, you find out how long she'd actually been away from there, because it starts off with
probably 5 or 6.
Her as a small child exploring the woods with her friend when they come across a
raiding
scouting
party
of some bikers. And of course, being just a little bit too precocious, she sneak down there and cut the fuel line and try to sabotage their shit.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily precocious or if it was an overabundance of caution, because like if you've got this oasis land where everything is not fucked up, you don't want anybody to come find it.
Oh, no, those guys should not have been allowed to leave there alive. Oh, no. But as a child, you probably should have went back to the... snuck back to the adults, and you know, because her mom was like a badass sniper, like murking dudes while on the back of a motorcycle, which was, you know, yeah, anyone who's tried to... Shooting moving targets hard enough. Shooting a moving target while you're also moving is like just an added level of difficulty.
Yeah, especially got to balance a bike while you're at it.
That's like the Navy SEALs that rescue in the like Captain Phillips. Dude's on a boat sniping another dude on a boat while at like high seas. That's like some serious.
I was thinking more like old school cowboys, like sniping a dude on a horse from a horse. But that's just my. I don't know.
Oh, there's a whole lot of sniping back then. But yeah, you know, trying to even pistol fighting or, you know, carbine fighting from the back of a truck or truck, a horse is difficult. But yeah, long shots in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of which, I just saw a video of a Florida man getting Florida manned today.
Yeah, I saw a Florida man in real life, but then I was just in Florida, so that might be one. Motherfucker sitting on the top of a goddamn bridge with two leather couches sitting there on the side of the fucking highway bridge. And he's just chilling on the couch, laying there, playing on his phone. Just like, you know, I don't fucking know if they fell off something and somebody was sitting there waiting for somebody to come back and get him or what. But he's just hanging out on his phone on this couch.
Oh, the video I saw was some guy apparently tried to rob a bank with a knife and was... holding some people hostage.
With a fucking knife?
Yeah, so he was behind the counter with holding two people at knife point. And I know it was in Florida. I don't know what town this was, but... So you know how, like, you go in the bank, there's maybe that little, like, alcove before you get into, like, the actual lobby?
Yeah.
So there's, like, SWAT team, like, standing in that little foyer area. So it's maybe 20 yards from where the dude is. And so, like, SWAT team guys are there, and the negotiator's talking to the dude, and, like, one sniper guy's, like, in the back, and he's using his buddy as, like, as a tripod. So he's got his rifle, like, across, like, one dude's, like, shoulder, and, like, while the negotiator's, you know, talking to the guy, and he puts a 308 round through a computer screen right into this dude's forehead. And like,
hey, fuck around, find out.
Yeah, Florida man got Florida manned.
Saw a fucking video on, I think, TikTok or Facebook. One of them is the meme with the evil-looking clown in black and white. It says, when somebody comes into the bank to try to hold it up with a fucking knife, and then you feel your Glock clear your Glock clears your holster, and you smile.
Oh, yeah. I forgot what the hell is that guy's name. It's Terrifier. Is that the name of the movie that guy's from.
The black and white clown? Yeah.
Yeah.
But he just gets a big smile on his face. It's that moment when you feel your Glock clear your fucking holster and somebody comes in to rob the bank with a knife.
Yeah, it's like, oh, someone finally fucked around and now they get to find out. Yay!
Yes, exactly. That's exactly the basis of the whole video there.
Oh.
Did another one. It's like when somebody breaks into the house, but then you realize you're not trapped in there with them. They're trapped in there with you. Anyways. Oh.
Back yeah, so, head. So yes, a young child gets caught trying to sabotage the bikes, and they decide to take her with them to use as, like, yeah, she'll...
Maybe she'll tell him how to get back.
Let's take her to the boss, and we'll get rewarded for, you know, bringing them back.
An offering of some
sort. An offering, and this person can lead us back to this land, because apparently mm-hmm. desert navigation's a bitch. But, you know, Mama Bear.
Not a whole lot of landmarks to navigate by. Look, there's sand and more sand. And if we go by that sand, we'll be there.
But, you know, Mama Bear takes off after him and, you know, is like picking these dudes off as they're running back to their encampment. And I like how the, speaking of like the practical effects, how like the motorcycles and stuff, because in this world, we know gas and spare parts and all that stuff's like severely limited. So like, when dude goes down, like, his buddies just run over, and, like, the gas tanks on the motorcycles are, like, quick disconnects. Things pull the whole...
Oh, they're just bungee corded to it, so
they just, like,
can
pull
take
the whole
thing off.
Gas tank off and, like, pull the wheel out. Like, all right, yeah, we grab these spare parts. And, yeah.
I mean, if life comes down to getting back to somewhere with water and shelter, then I guess you do what you do.
Yeah, and she just rolls up, takes gas tank off of her motorcycle, puts it on the other, and like, oh, this motorcycle's better. Let me take the spare parts off of my motorcycle, mm-hmm. get this wrecked motorcycle back to running, and chase these dudes down.
Hey, what you do what you gotta do.
And she manages to get them all except for, like, the one guy, because he's got, you know, kids strapped to his back using her as kind of a...
Shield.
And we finally get introduced to our kind of big bad, that the one who originally, I guess, kidnapped Furiosa, because, you know, we never explained how she ended up with Immortan Joe's, but apparently in this one we find out she wasn't always Immortan Joe's group. And speaking of Immortan Joe, the guy playing him looked, they did a good job making him look like the original Immortan Joe. It was played by a guy named Lachie Hume, who in the Fury Road, it was the same actor who played the original bad guy in like the first like Mad Max movie, who has since, you know, passed away when they made this movie, so they had to replace him with a stand-in. But they did a good job making him look, you know, just like a slightly younger Immortan Joe.
I love how confidently you try to pronounce these actors' names when you have no fucking clue how they're actually.
Oh, of course, that's the thing I learned when I was a police officer. You don't have to be right; you just have to be confident.
Oh yeah.
If you sound like you know what you're talking about, most people don't question it. They're just like, "Hey, he sounds pretty confident. He must know what he's talking about."
Okay. They were gonna get sued by some random actor from some random movie that's like, "You pronounced my name wrong and it hurt my feelings."
Yeah, good luck with that.
I need any money. Safe space. That's true. We don't have any money, that's for sure.
This thing isn't monetized.
Yeah, no kidding.
Speaking of which, though, hit 300 subscribers on YouTube today, so it's...
Well done.
I think I got to get up to like 500 before we're eligible for monetization, so hey... Go like, comment, and subscribe. Share it with your friends.
Yeah, do that. Do those things.
And then I maybe can afford to, like, you know, make better videos.
Get a better co-host for sure. You need a better co-host.
But yeah, our back to our first new bad guy. We got Chris Hemsworth playing Dementor.
Dementor, was that his fucking name?
Or was it or something else with it?
I don't remember. He looked like shit. That nose was bad.
Yeah, I mean, I like Chris Hemsworth as a bad guy. He
put in a really good performance. I'll give him that. The performance was good, but he just... it just didn't seem right.
Dementus, okay. That was his name. But yeah, because I mean, he's good action dude, but he also plays like comedy real well too. Like the things where he's like had like a more comedic role, kind of like John Cena. Like I don't necessarily like him as like an action star, but
John Cena.
Yeah, whatever. Cena. Well,
Cena.
you can't see him. Whatever his fucking name is.
John Cena.
The roles where he's like more of a comedic guy. With his action, I think, you know, like as Peacemaker, he's freaking hilarious. But when he was trying to be a straight up action dude and be like, I'm like serious action dude, like The Rock, like nah, dude,
badass.
You're just generic big guy. But like when he started like adding comedy to his repertoire, I'm like, all right, I like this dude. He's pretty fucking funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like the first time I think we've seen Hemsworth is not the hero.
True. Yeah.
And he did a good job of just being batshit crazy.
He was such a douchebag. But he played crazy pretty fucking well, because there was definitely like a whole lot of crazy in there.
And you were like, he looks weird. I'm like, he's got a big fake nose for some reason. Yeah,
that prosthetic was fucking hilarious. Yeah, that prosthetic was bad.
He's gonna be a bad guy, so we can't have him be like too good looking. You know, he can still be ripped, but we need to like fuck up his face a little bit.
That and the handlebar mustache with a gigantic prosthetic nose. He looked like what's his name? That Steve. Oh God, what was it, Roxanne or something like that, where Steve Martin had the gigantic...
Oh, yeah.
The gigantic prosthetic nose.
It was kind of a... what the hell's that? Cyrano de Bergerac.
It was based off of that.
Yeah.
All right,
it might have been Roxanne. It's been a long time I've seen that. Oh. But yeah, him is just batshit crazy is a hilarious watch.
Yeah, he played really well, like he bought into his own bullshit, which was pretty funny.
Yeah, and he runs a... I don't know if they ever give them a name, but he has like this huge biker gang roving the wastelands, and you know he's trying to be the
head dude. He wants to be the head dude.
And thinks he's just gonna like roll in and like.
I shall take over everything in the world. It will all be mine.
And this movie too, since it's kind of Furiosa's origin story, we get chapters like that we've not really had in like the other movies. So like the whole, you know, Furiosa getting kidnapped, and her mom does like try to break into the base and take
save her
and
she almost succeeds.
You know, they end up getting caught fleeing, can't get away, and she gives her like this, I don't know, it looks like a peach pit of some time. She's like, you know, protect the seed, get back, you know, no matter how long it takes, get back to the green place.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes like, you know, hold the bad guys back, but of course the child doesn't run. She goes back for her mother and gets recaptured and becomes a slave of Dementis, but you know, she at least doesn't she's like, I ain't telling y'all shit, homie.
I got nothing to say to you. Tattoos
a star map on her arm so she knows how to get back home eventually.
Pretty fucking intense considering she watched her mother basically get like blood eagled in the middle of the fucking desert.
Wow, blood eagled. That's a reference.
Yeah, well, that's what it looked like to me. I mean, it looked like he was basically cutting open her insides and...
Yeah, I'm just surprised you know what a blood eagle is.
I know what a lot of torture methodology is because I'm weird and dark shit like that. Yeah, I know what a blood eagle is.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the...
feeling a little less secure with your place in this world, are you?
You haven't killed me yet.
That's true.
It's mostly because you can't remember the combination of the safe most days.
I know the combination of the safe now.
Yeah, now I'm in danger, but not for years I was safe. All I gotta do is change the combination.
True. Oh, if I was gonna kill you, I'd use my hands. I'd want to enjoy it.
I don't think you got the grip strength to crush my neck.
There's always poison. That's typically been a woman's methodology for years anyway.
Anyway.
Of course, then I'd have to cook.
That was the joke I was about to make.
I knew it.
You'd have to cook to be able to poison me.
I knew it was good.
But I figured that would get me poisoned quicker, so it's better let you make that joke.
Yes, for all listening, just so you don't know, I don't like to cook. I work in food. I don't like dealing with it when I get home.
And then chapter two is lessons from the wasteland where...
So the chapters were broken up really weird. Did you notice that, or was it just me? They'd end a chapter and start one in a really weird place.
Yeah.
It wasn't to, like, explain years of her life being gone where, you know...
We just skip ahead in the story. And, whatever. Dementis has, I can't remember what he calls him, but he has, like, a dude in a cage that is, like... He's, like, the guy who remembers all the things from before the apocalypse. So he's like their computer. So he's like, hey, tell me this. And the guy just rattles off like facts. And he tries to tell her. He's like, hey, like, you've got to become important. Like, he'll protect you and take care of you if you
find a purpose that only you can serve.
And she kind of gets that, like, you know, at first they try to, well, they find a war boy, like, just randomly, like, crashed out in the desert that apparently got left behind, and he's like, is this Valhalla? And he's like, I don't know, is it? Like, maybe. Who the fuck are you?
Okay, Google. Or Alexis. Oh. Or what is it, fucking A.
And he's like, I'm from the Citadel, we got like food and all this other shit, and He's got like smoke grenades. That's how they find him, because he's like you know, firing a flare, and they're like, "What the hell's that?" And like his idiot guys who had not seen this technology like sets one off at like ground level, and they all get covered with the red dye. And he's mm-hmm. like, "Look, kind of sweet as a ginger. I'm gonna keep this look." Mm-hmm. I'm like Dementus the Red Beard.
All his white like parachute material cape that he was wearing is now suddenly red and looks all dark and sinister.
So yeah, they try to roll up to the Citadel and, you know, tell them like, "Hey, we're here to take over. All people get an equal share." And like, you know, Morton Joe comes out with all his war boys. He's like, "All right, let me show you how this is going to go, homie. Pick one warrior." He's like, "Okay." He's like, "That one." And he's like, "All right, go for it." And dude just like, you know, suicide bombs himself off the top of the top rope. And he's like, it doesn't matter which one of my guys you chose, like all of them would have done that. And I have hundreds. So y'all are fucked if you want to try to assault this
you
Citadel.
Might have put a little more thought into this before you did it.
Warriors don't care if they live or die. In fact, they want to die so they can, you know, ride immortal in chrome on the Fury Road, or however they used to say that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
In the first movie, whenever they were about to do something where they thought they were going to die, they would basically just spray paint their teeth, mm-hmm. like huff the paint and get high, and then like sacrifice themselves to a Morton Joe, and they called it, you know, being shiny in chrome.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Witness me, I'm shiny in chrome, I'm immortal on the Fury
Road.
I'm going
to have to rewatch this movie. I missed so much, I guess.
Because you're like, why is that guy spray painting himself? I'm like, because it's the thing they did in the other movie.
Well, okay, then we should have watched the other movie first, because it's been a while. I haven't seen that movie in fucking decade.
Well, it didn't come out a decade ago. It's only like 5 years old, so.
Well, I don't remember watching it 5 years ago.
Oh. So, yeah. He fucks off, gets his ass kicked a little bit there, and decides to try a more diplomatic approach.
Well, imagine that. Imagine that shit.
And his diplomatic approach is he's going to raid one of Morton Joe's fuel shipments, go into the gas town, and then he takes over gas town. So he, you know, sends them a message like, "Hey, y'all negotiate or I'm going to blow up gas town and we're all fucked."
Mm-hmm.
So he gets to come to a meeting, and he, you know, they're like, "Yeah, we'll let him come here. We'll hear what he has to say, and then we'll just kill his ass." But he shows up like, "Hey, by the way, this is a detonator. If you guys don't know what that is, I don't type a code into this. Gastown, go boom." So I want.
There's definitely a heavy benefit on your side in negotiation if you're batshit fucking crazy and don't care if you survive either. I mean, if you don't give a shit if you survive, then yeah.
Yeah, and he tries to pretend. Furious is his daughter or whatever. He's like, "That's not your..." He's like, "Is it child? Is this your father?" No, he's just some asshole that took me.
Yeah, he's a motherfucker that, like, blood-eagled my mother in front of my face.
He's like, "But you're a healthy child who doesn't appear to be irradiated, so you could probably make good offspring someday, so I'm gonna..."
Look, girl make babies. Girl make babies.
So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna... I'll agree to part of your demand. I'm not going to give you everything you wanted, but I'll give you like the same amount of food, water, maybe a little more than I was given the previous ruler of Gastown. In exchange, I get the girl, and hey, you got this. I think he calls him like a biological mechanic, like the doctor guy.
Oh yeah, okay.
And he's like,
had a cool look. Now he had a cool like steampunk looking. He had a cool look.
It's like all his like medical instruments kind of in a bandolier. So he's like yeah. I want the doctor and I want the kid, and yeah, we'll allow you to run Gastown. So
up until you piss us off, and then we're gonna have to go kill you.
Oh yeah, because as it turns out, he's kind of shitty at being a
leader,
a governor of. He's all right with a roving band of outlaws, but trying to run a gas facility in the wasteland, he's not great at.
Yeah, he doesn't do so hot by his own people.
So yeah, but Furiosa again not happy with being a
captive?
future wife, shaves her head and disguises herself as a mute boy and becomes basically part of the crew and kind of proves herself by doing some reckless shit to help save one of the vehicles, and so she ends up getting on the crew who's building the... So she's like, all right, since our trucks and stuff are getting attacked, we need a armored up semi. So she gets into the crew that's building the first war wagon. And her plan is she's going to stow away and escape when it heads out. So she basically hides herself under the war wagon. And of course, on the way to Gastown, it gets attacked by some of the Dementis's ex-group that got tired of his shit and went rogue. But she ends up basically helping the crew of the war wagon and saving it, but then tries to, like, jack it, and homeboy, Jack.
The driver of the war wagon.
Yeah, he had like, an actual title, though, but it was, like,
Did he?
Yeah. But, yeah, anyway, he...
throws her off the vehicle, tells her to get lost, and then he comes walking after her and says, look, I like you got skills.
Praetorian Jack.
Oh, there you go.
He's like, you know, kicks her out and like fucking drives off. But then he comes like walking back after he's kind of secured the rig and he's like, hey, you did good back there. The waste, you know, hell, I'll give you some water and some gas, whatever. You can fuck off if you want. But you could stay with me because now my whole crew's dead. I got to put together a new crew and I can teach you everything I know about, you know, wasteland warriors, you know, and like, you know, how to fight out here on the Fury Road. And then like, you know, when you're ready, I'll help you
get home,
take off someday. So yeah, she becomes like his right-hand man and learns all about,
right-hand man.
That is the term.
Don't care.
And she was pretending to be a man at that time.
True. All right, fine, I'll allow it.
But she did reveal herself as a lady, but you know, she didn't want to end up back in the
breeding barn.
The breeding barn. So yeah, she was pretending to be a boy.
His harem.
But yeah, she becomes his partner, and as Jack starts seeing things like falling apart, you know, they're on their kind of last run to the bullet farm, because like, you know, everyone's like, they go to pick up shipment from the bullet farm, like, hey, tell Morton Joe, like, fucking Gastown is like really falling apart and they're gonna get like, we need to have a meeting of the warlords because we got to get rid of this asshole before he kills
us all up.
And you know, and on their like last run out there, they you know, basically there's a riot going on and they don't get any of the fuel that they're supposed to get because he's can barely keep the the natives from killing his own guys. Yeah, that's right. So finally, Morton Joe's like, all right, time to take this asshole out. Go to the fucking bullet farm, get every single round that you can get, and we're going to war. And he tells her, like, she's like, hey, this is our last run. Like as soon as we get this over, you take the car. Hell, I'll leave with you. Let's just
load up. Everything is going to shit here.
Yeah,
let's just go.
Load up the truck, and we'll send the truck back with the war boys, and we'll just fuck off to the desert, which they probably should have fucked off a day earlier, because turns out Dementis had decided to
he's pretty clever about what the fuck's going on. He's not good at running it down, but he figures out what's going on pretty fast.
While the leader of Bullet Town was back at the Citadel to meet with Joe, he snuck in there and took over Bullet Town himself. So he ambushes them when they roll up to get the
ammunition. Shipment
and destroys the war wagon and chases them into the desert and eventually captures them and basically pulls an Old West execution on Jack and like drags him behind vehicles and lets his dog eat him while she's watching. And I gotta say, up to this point, through that whole thing, I'm just like, because her character in the second movie has got a robotic arm, so mm-hmm. It's like the whole time I'm like, is this where she loses the arm? Nope, she survived that. Is this where she loses the arm?
Mm-hmm.
Nope, she got through that. I thought it was going to end up like they're going to capture her at one point and be like, all right, you got to tell us how to get back to the Greenland, and she was going to cut her arm off to like hide that map. That was like what I thought was going to happen, but in this fleeing, she's driving the pursuit car, and you know, basically gets sideswiped with her arm hanging out the window, and it, like, fucks it up. So then he chains her up to the back of this tow truck thing to make her watch while he kills Jack. And he likes it. Her arm's probably, like, just jello at that point. So she just kind of rips it off and flees. And I'm like, ah, so that's how she lost
that's where the arm went. Go ahead.
And we did see, you know, kind of a Mad Max cameo, because, like, as she's, like, wandering in the desert, like, trying to get back to the Citadel, you see, like, Mad Max's car and homeboy up on, like, a ridge, like, watching her, like, what's this shit? Eat my Vienna sausages up here and
see
mind
home?
My business.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah, but she passes out and ends up in, like, the cannibal's lair, I guess.
Cave full of dead people.
Yeah, like, I'm like, is this some kind of doctor? Or they're, like, getting ready to, like, farm her ass.
They were farming everybody out with nothing but dead bodies as far as the eye could see.
I mean, they're, like, got all these body parts hanging up and, like, scraping fat maggots off of them. I'm like, is this a maggot farm or...
I mean, I guess you do what you gotta do.
Yeah, so you wake up in the cannibal's lair and, like...
Mm-hmm. Don't leave. We like you. Yours is still moving.
Yeah. That's like some Texas Chainsaw Massacre shit.
Kind of look like, yeah, kind of. If we were doing Texas Chainsaw Massacre in the fucking post-apocalypse desert, yeah, it's kind of.
Yeah, she
got fucking Tiny in there scraping skin off of bodies and
makes it back to the Citadel and, like, you know, climbs. It's like, hey, it's Furiosa, let me in. And she just, like, walks up into their big, like, war meeting and is like, hey, we got to kill this motherfucker. Like, you find him. He's mine.
I'm doing it. He's mine. I'm going to take that motherfucker out.
And they're like, he's like, yeah, he's taking over the bullet town or whatnot. And they're like, all right, cool. Thanks. Whatever. And you got one arm. What are you going to do? And she's like, I'm also, like, fucking mechanic lady. So I'm going to go start building this badass robot arm.
I'm just going to go build another one. Somewhere in my kidnapped youth there, I learned how to make shit, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so then we get the start of the, they call it the 40-day wasteland war with, war boys go to war with the Horde. That was the name of his biker group. Uh-huh. But yeah, she, you know, now that she's kind of lost her arm, so supposedly, like, that was the arm with the map, and she doesn't have her path home, she's like, now it's just like...
Fuck it, I'm gonna fuck some shit up.
I'm here for vengeance. She gets her robot arm, and she's like, I need a vehicle.
Like, I got a vehicle.
And, like, they're all like, everyone's gone, all the vehicles have gone to war, we don't have any vehicles. And then one guy's like, I got a vehicle, and it's like, half of a vehicle.
Hey.
Yeah, but it arrives, you know, so she takes off in this thing that's basically got, I think it just has, like, front wheels and, like, you know, gets caught up with Morton Joe's, like, kids who are, like, running the war, and he's like, take that car, like, those wheels will fit my badass hot rod that's broken down here. And they start stripping her car for parts, and she just walks over and takes his fucking car, and, like, and then by this point, they've captured the
inbred kids were dumb, though. Yeah, they were fucking dumb. I don't even remember what their names were now, but it was something like Taint and Buttcracker. What was it? Fucking
Buttcracker.
What were their names? It was like, Scrotus and fucking something. It was. One of them was named fucking Scrotus, so Scrotum and something else.
I don't think so.
Yes, it was.
It was Rictus. Rictus Erectus. And Scrotus.
It
yes.
is, was Scrotus. So it was like.
Hard-On and Scrotum is basically these dudes' name. Played by Nathan Jones and Joss Hellman.
Taint and Scrotum there. Ballsack and Taint.
But yeah, he's got some badass card. And she just, like, jacks that shit and, like, takes off. He's like, what is that? And he's like, oh, that is death. death is coming for them. Like, this war is about to be over. But yeah, the, what's his name? Because they'd already captured, like, the guy who was the historian guy. And he's like, oh, that's the shadow of death right there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she chases down, Dementis and... ends up, like, he's, like, you know, chases him down. It turns out it's not him. It's, like, he's, like, switched bikes and, like, you know, him and his other guys, like, ran the other way and sent his, like, kind of his, like, crazy sidekick to lure her away.
Motorcycle chariot was pretty fucking cool, though. You got three motorcycles drawing a chariot. That was pretty fucking sweet.
I sent him a video of that. Those things really exist. There was a place having motorcycle chariot races where they had rigged up that exact thing with like dual motorcycle chariots, and they were racing these things.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so you know, she chases him down. He's like, it's not me, like, because he's like wearing the hooded parachute cape thing. He's like, I'm the distraction. So she's like, all right, well, fuck, you know, goes running the other way, and they've all split up. So she's like got the sniper rifle, like watching, like, all right, which one is which, and finally sees, like, you know, them capture the other biker, and it's his one-eyed lieutenant. So he's like, all right, the other one must be him, and like fucks him up, like runs him down, like, you know, and then like just refuses to kill him, like, you know, blows up his bike, and then like, you know, just like just keeps like chasing him down with the car, but won't run him over till he just kind of basically like collapses and is like, all right, like, I surrender, do whatever.
She's like, okay, cool, bet. Bet, watch me.
I do like her little robot arm too when she rolls up to him. Like, it's like a pull, kind of reminds me of some shit that like Ash from the Evil Dead would have. Mm-hmm. She like it's got like a little gas powered engine, so she like cranks it up and then it like gives her like, you know, extra strength, and she just like cuts the chains and steals his teddy bear.
Yeah, motherfucker's been carrying a teddy bear around the whole goddamn time because for some odd reason, he said his kids' teddy bears and they were killed or something. I mean,
that was what his claim was, but yeah.
Hypothetically, he might have had a reason to be crazy in the first place. Yeah,
maybe, or he's also like kind of a known liar, so true. It's not sure if his backstory of having kids.
We were trying to give him some character development, it just didn't stick.
But speaking of character development, just... I like some of the little details they had in these movies. Like, he had like a three or four of Rottweiler, Pitbull, like dogs, but one of them had like a prosthetic leg.
Yeah, I think they were Rottweilers.
Dog with like the robot leg was like cool as shit. I was like, oh, I haven't seen that in a movie before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had his pack of Rottweilers he'd feed people to.
And the bikers had the ultralights where it's like, you know, they would, you know, launch a spirit shit and then like deploy these parachutes and stuff so they could like fly over the car they were trying to take over,
kinda,
and start
like
dropping
parasailing, basically.
Yeah, parasailing behind the truck and dropping bombs. And you had the little guy in the bed of the tanker truck that controlled the one, like, we need something to, like, guard the ass end of the truck, so we're gonna basically build this big pinwheel of death that just has, like, giant spike balls that, like, spin helicopter style. And he keeps popping his head up. Is it time? Is it time? He's like, no, no, not yet. Is it time?
Little guy was a little psycho. He's just like, yeah, little guy was a little...
And when it's finally,
can
like...
Can I do it now?
Yeah.
Can I push the button now? I'm gonna push the button.
And when it finally came time to push the button, he got shot in the head, and it's like... Oh, you never get to push the button. And Furiosa had to run back there and push the button for him. Or what about the, because, of course, like, water is limited. So they had the one guy, the piss boy, mm-hmm. who had, like, the bandolier of bottles of piss and was like, you know, the truck's overheating. Bring forth the piss boy. And he, like, runs up there and starts pouring piss into the engine.
Hey! In a post-apocalyptic desert, you got to conserve whatever liquid you got, so.
I mean... How bad you got to fuck up to, like, you are now the piss boy. That is that is your job.
But it's a title, at least. I mean, he's not just a war boy. You are the piss boy war boy. You're special. That's promotion. he who's in charge of the fucking liquid is king. I mean, I'm just saying.
Where's the shit boy? Well, I mean, they got all those plants and stuff back in the Citadel, so somebody's got to be making fertilizer.
Somebody's running fertilizer around.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think human waste is good for fertilizer, from what I understand.
I don't think straight, but I think if you, like, compost it...
Something about the chemical composition of human waste is not good for plants.
Too acidic.
Probably.
Acidic.
Are you five? Are you fucking five?
I'm 45.
True. True enough.
We don't grow up, we just get old.
I'm not getting old. I'm not trying to get old anyway. I'm trying to fight it, but...
Organic mechanic, that's what the doctor's term was.
Which is a pretty cool, like I said.
Played by Angus Sampson.
It's a pretty cool personality for like a steampunk event, or, you know.
Kind of reminds me of some of those, like, from, like, Warhammer, the, like, necromancer, technomancers that were basically combining technology with bodies and making these, like, you know, machine people hybrids.
Oh, I really hate this chair. Need a new chair. Either that or just need to let me sit in the chair right there, that way I can sit the way I need to sit.
And some of the names, like, I'm just looking at the cast list here. Some of the character names, too. It's like the mechanic on the rig was named Chumbucket.
Yeah.
And Black Thumb was the other mechanic.
We had some imagination. What do you want? We had imagination. Even if you didn't actually ever hear their names pronounced, it was just for the sake of the writers to put it in there for fun.
And Demetrius's little crazy henchman that would, like, you know, was his, like, announcer guy.
Demetrius? Dementis?
Yeah, Dementis. His guy was named Smeg.
Smeg. I don't even know what that means.
Google that one. It's a term that you...
Okay. You're going to watch me do this?
Yeah, just... What is Smeg? Go ahead. Just Google that.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, I want to be a bullet farmer in the apocalypse.
What does it mean? A combination of said skin cells, moisture, and skin oils. It's found in the genitalia of male and female mammals like human.
Yeah, it's like...
A singularly odoriferous? Odoriferous?
It's the goop that grows on an unclean dick.
And revolting substance.
That's what Schmeg is.
Shit.
It's Fremunda cheese.
Jesus Christ.
That's your word of the week, kids. Fremunda cheese.
Did you have to...
Pee-wee's Playhouse, that's the secret word of the week. What's the secret word, Cherry? Schmeg.
Fuck this. I gotta tap out. This ain't gonna work.
Oh. So, yeah, you know, and I like, yeah, after she captured him, you got, like, the historian guy narrating it. It's like, yeah, there was several versions of how
she put him down?
Put him down. It's like, yeah, she, like, strung him up and set him on fire like he did her mother. She, like, you know, shot him, ran him over, crushed his head. But here's what theoretically really happened. One night, Furiosa told me, like, up in the hydroponics, like where we grow all the food. There's a
peach tree.
There's a tree, a very special tree that is fertilized with human. And basically, she kept him alive in that peach pit she had been saving all these years. She, I guess, planted it in his dick because that's where the tree was growing, and, like, said, yeah, so now he was all scrawny and wasting away, but yeah, he had been feeding this tree for the last
10-ish
15-ish years, however however much time there is between now and the what we see in Fury Road. And then the movie kind of ends with her, you know, the first peach is produced from the cock tree. And she's like, but this isn't for me. And she takes it to the wives and shows her starting her plan of liberating the slave wives. And then basically we get kind of just through the credits, highlights from the Fury Road movie. And what happened?
Fuck my life. Yeah, you need a new co-host because
someone who doesn't like to talk with their hands and hits things.
I can't help it. You won't let me sit right. I can't fucking talk with my hands. I can't do this.
Next time, bring your own chair. Bring you a rickety kitchen chair that you can like. Sit improper in something that doesn't have
I can't help it.
Arms.
I can't help it. No, you're going to order me that one off the TikTok. The one with the wide chairs. Like the fat ass chair is what it was called. Is what you called it, I think. The fat ass chair. The one I can sit in like I want to sit because I don't want to sit normal. I don't like to sit normal. Anyway, go ahead.
Did you have any? I've talked a lot. Do you have any favorite parts or shenanigans from said movie?
Watching the tree growing. Not gonna lie, that was fucking funny. I didn't like him in it, but every fucking time Chris Hemsworth was on scene and he started into a monologue, it was funny as fuck.
Oh yeah, because
the acting was good. I'll give him that.
Yeah, and he like rolls around with this motorcycle cart cage thing that he keeps his important things in, which is the historian and her, but it's rigged up with like a speaker system, and he has like an old school like radio mic.
Yep.
And just like, you know, announcing his presence. He was very theatrical.
Yes, that's probably what it was. Very campy.
I mean, he was probably like a circus dude in like pre-apocalypse days.
Very fucking campy.
And I do like Jack, they kind of, you know,
he was cool.
He's like, yeah, you got potential, kid, and like, let me train you. And then they kind of developed a relationship and were planning to run away together. But when like that first trip to the bullet farm, he's like, gets a special gun and like presents it to, gives her like the sawed off double barrel pistol, which is the sawed off shotgun is kind of very iconic in the Mad Max world. Like, you know, in the previous movies, Mad Max, he always has that double barrel shotgun pistol. So it was kind of cool, like him presenting her with that. And as a weapons nerd, I like the aesthetic of a lot of these like just weird cobbled together weapons that you see in these movies. Cause it's like, everything is like just, they do, whoever does their production design does a great job of just creating this weird cobbled together post-apocalyptic shit. Like, even the original gun she takes from, like, Jack when she's defending the rig, it's like a combination brass knuckles knife pistol thing. And, like, you know, when she realizes she's, like, you know, defeated, you know, she tries to, like, hand him back the gun. He's like, nah, keep it. Like, you're gonna need it in this life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just hold on to that for me, honey. It's a love token. It becomes a love token, anyway.
And I'm pretty sure, like, once...
Besides, what do you got to say about people giving other people guns? I mean, you don't really... That is your love language. What did you buy me for Mother's Day? A holster.
Yeah, a holster.
What did you buy me for my birthday before that?
No, that was for our anniversary.
Oh, you for got our anniversary. A Mete MC9. That's right. You bought me a gun for our anniversary. And a holster.
It was the iron anniversary. So it was a shooting iron. I'm pretty sure, like, that gun is in Fury Road, because she has a whole collection of guns, you know, when we fast forward to Fury Road. I'm pretty sure that weird brass knuckle thingy was in her bag of guns.
Of course it is, because it was her boyfriend's. You don't get rid of something like that.
But I do want a sawed-off 12-gauge, like, Mad Max gun. That just looks cool as shit.
I'm having trouble staying lit. The fuck was that?
A pop-up of a goat guns pop-up, apparently.
Oh, about to say, shit, you got a low battery, that can be problematic.
No, I just forgot to
set to mute it.
Mute the speaker, yeah.
You ain't got room for no more goat guns, you have them all.
No, I don't. I actually got a whole list. I'm not even halfway through the collection. I just don't. I just need a bigger rack.
I got a big enough rack.
Oh, it's funny too, here in the notes, the cameo we saw of Mad Max. It was actually played by Tom Hardy's stunt double from Fury Road.
Oh, yeah?
So they couldn't get Tom Hardy to come back for that 2 minute sequence, but they got a stunt double too.
Well, they probably weren't going to pay him enough for what he wanted.
It's probably why we got a prequel and not a sequel.
Probably. I don't think he's doing a whole lot though either, though. Not that I've heard recently.
He's been in all the Venom movies.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some new...
Oh, yeah, there's another one coming out, too.
He had that Peaky Blinders show, too, and there's a... He's got a new motorcycle movie coming out called The Bike Riders.
Okay, well, apparently I haven't paid
enough attention. He's, like, leader of, a 50s biker gang.
I didn't realize he had that much going on. Of course, I didn't realize that was who was in fucking Venom, either, but...
But, yeah, supposedly they're talking that they may do a sequel to Fury Road. You know, he's kind of
on the fence.
Well, you know, he's kind of shown more interest lately of like, yeah, I think I would, you know, if the script's good and I'm like, I'd come back and do it again. And like I said,
you might want to mute that.
So yeah,
I cannot fucking stay lit today for some reason. What did you get me, by the way? I know I got a plush right now, but what did you get me?
Not important currently. So yeah, as we kind of wrap that up, the Dies de Gloria, you know, well, what are you smoking for the people?
Oh, I'm going to ash the plush, but for some reason, either, I don't know if it's been sitting a while, because I think I'm the only one that smokes fucking acids out of the entire fucking cigar shop. Because it's always about the same as every time I go, but...
Yeah, it's not one I see getting used often.
Probably not. So it's kind of not wanting to stay lit on me for some reason today.
Well, AJ does not make a bad cigar, whether he's making it for other people or making it for himself. And I don't think I've ever had the original Dies de Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this one, like I said, it's very savory. And it's like, I do like... pepper. It's got like a woody pepperiness to it, and it's definitely in that medium plus, almost like full strength.
Well, that's what I was about to ask, because it's strong enough for you, because it's
plenty strong. It's not super strong. It's not like overly strong like some of the shit I smoke, but it's strong enough. It keeps my...
Some of the shit you smoke is blacker than my soul.
attention.
Which is hard to imagine.
Very nice Oscuro wrapper.
Yeah. Some of the stuff you smoke is blacker than my soul, or would be if I had one, but...
Oh, the one I picked up for next episode, it is, it's, yeah.
It's blacker than your soul.
It's black as night.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, if we get another prequel, like I said, we got an origin story of Furiosa. If they're not going to make another Mad Max movie or a sequel to the Fury Road,
I want to see where the War Boys came about.
I want to do for your origin story.
Where do we get the War Boys? Where did they come from? How did we end up getting a bunch of dudes painted in white?
They're not painted. They're like all radioactive.
They're all albino?
Yeah, they're all like mutant motherfuckers.
Oh, well, I want that. I want to see where they came from.
Joe's been fucking. They're all Joe's weird offspring.
One man cannot create that. Even in biblical times, one man cannot create that many offspring. Especially with an intensely limited pool of women.
Oh, yeah. Do we get a Morton Joe origin story?
That might not be bad either, though.
Yeah, that would be kind of interesting how he created
his dumbass kids.
The Citadel and...
Taint and ball sack there. I don't need anything else with taint and ball sack in it. They were just...
No, it's hard on a ball sack. That's... it was rictus erectus. and scrotus.
Scrotum and fucking hard on. Scrotum and hard on. I don't need any more movies with scrotum and hard on it. We can leave them on other...
We didn't get to meet their third brother, Taintus.
Taintus.
Perineus.
Oh my god. Fucking Perineus.
That's all we got for you this week. If you're watching on the YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe. And for everyone else, we'll be right back with some science.
I had ChatGPT write the new Flopcast promo.
Okay. Narrator, the Flopcast is making waves in the comedy world. Join hosts Jenny and Kevin as they dive into pop culture from retro TV to comic books. With their quirky banter and infectious laughter, the Flopcast will have you laughing out loud and reminiscing. Tune in every week for fun, friendship, and fond memories.
Who the heck is Jenny?
Welcome back. It's time for some science.
Yay, science. I hit my mark a little better that time.
Nice.
It was a little closer. What can I say? I'm just a fucking fill-in. I'm an intern, man. Not like I get paid for this shit. I'm a fucking intern.
Is that that old meme? You guys are getting paid for this?
Yeah, exactly. I'm an intern. I don't get perks out of this.
Well, for years we've heard the rumors that Amazon's gonna start doing like drone delivery. It's gotta be better than fucking FedEx.
Fucking waiting on the car, the fucking trucks to drop shit off is like unreal.
If anything gets shipped FedEx, it's like fucking always 2 days late.
At least.
Well, drones made its first ever delivery to Mount Everest.
Fucking who's ordering shit on Mount Everest?
Everesters.
I could be mistaken. I don't think people live there, but okay. What would be the weight capacity you think for a drone to deliver?
I don't know, but it delivered at 20,000 feet up the mountain.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
So yeah, Mount Everest received its first ever drone delivery in a proof of concept test conducted in April of this year, being the first of its kind mission to deliver supplies to mountaineers on their way up the mountain.
Okay, so it wasn't people that lived there. It's people traveling.
And,
that's probably a pretty good fucking application.
Oh, here's the answer to your other question. Well, you know, the delivery was conducted by technology company DJI, which makes a lot of the equipment I use on the old YouTube channel. They make the our wireless mics. They're also a big drone company, if you can afford one of their drones.
Oh, yeah?
The drone was called the Flycart 30, a long-distance heavy lifter with a maximum carrying capacity of 33 pounds.
Oh, well, then that you could deliver a lot that way.
Especially if you got, like, multiple, you know, multiple drones in a single shipment.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, this, yeah, they said it was basically designed to deliver packages to less conventional locations. It can ascend beyond traditional logistical limits.
Well, then, hypothetically, maybe someday it'll become a go-to delivery for not just out-of-the-way places, and we'll get our shit when we're supposed to get our shit.
Or even, like I said, people out here, they're, like, climbing the mountain. I mean, you've got to
maybe take my fucking coffee will be here before I go buy replacement coffee.
Take a lot of carry a lot of stuff with you to get up the mountain, where this would, like, you know, basically they wouldn't have to carry as much if they can get, you know, kind of a supply refill halfway up the mountain. So in the test, the drone carried extra oxygen bottles and 3 pounds
probably food.
And an extra 3 pounds of other stuff to Everest Base Camp and then returned with waste.
Mm.
Dropped off shit, picked up. And the site sits at 17,389 feet above sea level. So this is kind of like the resting point for people that are going up the mountain before they make the final ascent to the top of the mountain. And also, you know, if there's a lot of bodies on Everest because it's just so hard to, like, if someone dies
you
up there
can't
to recover
fucking
the
go
bodies,
retrieve them.
So maybe at some point this can be used for, you know, some kind of, like, medical, delivering medical equipment or retrieving people who need medical assistance.
I mean, if you can only carry 33 pounds, I don't think you can retrieve people, but...
Well, if you can link four of them together.
No,
it's like
work.
A, kind of like a load lifter with multiple drones carrying a harnessed body. And speaking of tall shit, company behind the world's tallest building plans to turn skyscrapers into gravity batteries.
Say, huh?
Gravity batteries.
Gravity. Jesus Christ. I can't speak English. Gravity battery?
Yes. Basically, Energy Vault, a new startup, designing skyscrapers that incorporate gravity batteries into their design. Basically, the problem with, say, like, wind farms or solar energy is, you know, sometimes the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't always shine, but you can always use gravity.
Yeah, but I guess I'm just not figuring out how you can use that to create energy, but...
So basically, during times when energy sources are producing more energy than the demand, the excess energy is used to move weights in the form of water and sand upwards, turning it into potential energy. When the power supply is low, these objects are then released, powering turbines with their, basically, their fall.
Okay, so yeah, that makes sense.
So basically, like, they're, you know, when there's extra energy, they lift the weights up to the highest point in the building, and when there's low energy, the weights come down, basically pulling, I guess, a cord that spins a generator and produces energy in those times when, you know... So generally, gravity batteries have been used in reservoirs, abandoned mines, moving sand or other weights up when, like I said, excess power is being produced, and then dropping them when they need when they need more energy than what is being naturally produced. So now this company wants to kind of incorporate those machinery into skyscrapers that are, you know, can then use that system to supplement the power of the building and the city surrounding said building.
Well, that's cool.
And then now to space.
The world's space.
Yeah, you know, this is kind of steampunky. The world's first wooden satellite is to launch this year and could combat space pollution.
Wooden satellite?
Yep.
All right.
They want to try to build satellites out of sustainable materials. Yep, this September, the world's first wooden satellite is prepared to launch into space thanks to scientists in Japan. If it is successful, it could open doors to more environmentally friendly satellite re-entries. So basically, instead of, like, you know, once these satellites kind of get past their usefulness and they fall back to Earth, we sometimes get stuff not burning up in the atmosphere and, you know, potentially dangerous stuff... falling on the Earth, but if a wood-based satellite would more cleanly burn up in the atmosphere on re-entry.
Yeah, the question is, how do you get it into the atmosphere without it burning up?
Well, it would go inside of a rocket or spaceship. Satellites don't just go up there by themselves.
Well,
they're usually delivered by some other type of vehicle. Yeah, so traditional satellites deposit harmful metal particles into the Earth's atmosphere when they burn up on re-entry, where a wood satellite, these small cube satellites are made of Honokai, a type of magnolia wood, where it will be sent to the International Space Station and then deployed into low Earth orbit. And this kind of project will be a 240-day long test of different types of wood on the space station to see which is going to hold up the best in in making of said satellites, and which will burn up more easily in the Earth's atmosphere, having trying to balance durability for use as a satellite and then also things that will break up better. Because, you know, we've had accidents like last year, a piece of discarded cargo pallet from the space station went through a roof of a house in Florida.
Well, of course it was Florida.
And a piece of a SpaceX rocket landing on a farm in Canada. So, yeah, finding things that will break up a little bit easier on re-entry will be a little less dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we're doing things in space, the first metal 3D printing in space has made a giant leap in microgravity manufacturing.
Okay.
So, European Space Agency has begun an experiment on the International Space Station that might shape manufacturing and sustainability in orbit. Because that's kind of one of the hard things of deep space travel is getting shit from Earth to space is very costly. It takes a lot of fuel and stuff like that. So if we can create things in space, that would make, you know, traveling farther than our own galaxy a little bit easier, because we wouldn't have to
carry so much shit
up, you know, if we can kind of
let's build our tools while we're up there,
build our tools in space, or build our, you know, eventually build whole ships and stuff in orbit instead of having to get them off the planet. So for the first time, metal objects are being 3D printed. The metal 3D printer was sent up to ISS back in January, but has only kind of started the experiment recently. Astronaut Andres Morgensen basically the device is controlled back on Earth, or basically, you know, they just have to transmit the information to the printer, who can then print out. The first kind of test print was a little metal S to test the printer, which it successfully did, according to Officer Rob Postema, the ESA technician.
Mm-hmm.
We said they're now getting ready to print full parts in the near future. They've reached a point in testing with the industrial team led by Airbus Defense and Space SAS and CADMUS, support center in France, which oversees the operation on the ground. So basically a stainless steel wire is fed into a printing area, similar to how plastic wire is fed into a regular 3D printer, but melting plastic is much easier. Here, a laser 1 million times more powerful than a laser pointer melts the tip, allowing for structures to be created in the printer. The printer is sealed while working, so no fumes get out into the space station. 4 objects have been selected to be printed following the test. They're not discussing the details yet, but they will be brought back to Earth and tested against exact copies printed under gravity to see if there's a difference in printing shit in microgravity versus printing shit here on Earth, to see if you know, there's any kind of, if they're any, you know, less durable or whatever than the space, there's any kind of difference in durability versus the Earth printed versus the space printed objects.
Well, I would think there would have to be, because you're exposed to, I would think the gravity would be a factor, but I'm not sure. Or lack of gravity, whatever.
I don't know, it's kind of like, you know, you see the water bubbles just kind of float everywhere, you know, it's like whether or not the metal stuff will stack when it's not kind of pulled down gravitationally, but then, I don't know, you could probably fix that with some kind of, like, I don't know, magnet holding it down as it prints stuff, since we are printing metal at this point. Who knows? But that's all I got for you this week. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Nerd News.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in nerd news.
And welcome back. It's time for some nerd news.
Yay, news.
So first up, we got a couple trailers for new upcoming sequels. First off, we have a new Aliens.
Hell yes. Alien Hell yes.
Romulus.
She looks good, too.
Yeah, it's kind of, it reminds me of that, one of those Alien games. I can't remember which one, but it looks like it takes place mostly on a space station of some kind. So it's kind of bringing back that claustrophobic feel of some of the original Alien movies. Directed by Fede Alvarez. Which I've not seen the, what is that, Prometheus.
Prometheus, some of the, I think.
Like the, the kind of like the prequel films where this one, the events of this film is set between the original Alien and Aliens. And the story concerns a group of young space colonists who, while scavenging a derelict space station, come face to face with alien life forms. Starring Kaylee Spinay, David Johnson, Archie Renaud, Isabel Mercade, and Spike Feim. And this is set to release in August of this year. So, once again, no one can hear you scream in space.
Ooh, spooky.
August 16th.
Yeah, we're going to go see that one. That one looks good.
And we've also got, just in time for Halloween, coming out October 25th, we've got another Venom movie, speaking of Tom Hardy.
That one looks pretty good, too.
Venom the Last Dance. Of course, I haven't seen the second one yet. So, yeah, we're, you know, looks like the aliens from Venom's world has finally tracked him down, and we got all sorts of aliens invading the Earth, and it's up to our anti-hero of Eddie and Venom to stop the invasion and also fight off what looks to be like government forces trying to capture our gooey homie. These films have been fairly interesting for non-Spider-Man movies. These haven't been, I mean, they were bad or better than Morbius, but yeah, it's like turning Venom, who's usually a villain in the comic books, into more of a anti-hero vigilante. It's been, you know, and just the interaction between Tom Hardy and Venom, it's the weirdest buddy cop type.
I guess I wouldn't have thought of it being a buddy cop movie, but I guess it
kind of
is.
It is kind of like an odd couple pairing.
I mean,
and like
yeah.
Their interactions between each other, it just is hilarious. But we've also got some video game news. Fans of Call of Duty Black Ops, we got Black Ops 6 trailer just dropped. Don't have a release date on that yet. Sometime this summer. But yeah, the trailer, I mean, previous games, we've gone from like Vietnam era through the 80s into the future, and now it looks like we're coming to the 90s. Some like, you know, Gulf War gameplay apparently. Trailer's got George Bush, got some Clinton in it. You got some 90s Prodigy soundtrack going on. So I was like, oh yeah, like I remember this music from my day.
Back in my day, kids, when we walked up here to school.
So yeah, I'm gonna have to. I mean, and of course, being a Black Ops game, there's gonna be a new zombies game included, and you can pre-order that now. So yeah, if you wanna run some Black Ops, get on that. And kind of game adjacent news, we've got a trailer for season 2 of Arcane League of Legends anime on Netflix, which will be coming out this November, which I'd never played that game, but that first series on Netflix was like really good. I think I put on that girl dresses Jinx at Dragon Con. Like, mm-hmm. they're like, that looks cool as shit. I don't know where it's from, but it looks cool as hell. I'm like, it's from this game. So it's kind of a post-apocalyptic, steampunky looking world. So it's, I mean, you might actually enjoy this this anime. But yeah, we've finally got a season two of that coming we'll this November.
Check that out then.
Yeah, Arcane League of Legends.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got, you know, I've talked about so many movies being based on Seven Samurai, aka The Magnificent Seven, including fucking Rebel Moon, which is basically just Magnificent Seven in space. Well, this summer, no exact date, the original Seven Samurai movie is getting re-released in theaters with a 4K restoration.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, yeah, still in black and white, they didn't colorize it, but they did upgrade it to 4K graphics. So if you're a classic cinema fan and want to see the original Seven Samurai that has inspired so many stories throughout the years.
Like the last one we did?
Yeah. it'll be back in theaters sometime this summer.
Okay.
And, that's about all I got for you this go-around. Check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're on the ESO Network at ESONetwork.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and X at CigarNerdPod. We are on the YouTube at CigarNerdPodcast, where I do video version of this show and other random shit, mostly mm-hmm. gun stuff.
Mostly gun stuff, yeah.
And some cigar reviews. Go check
and
us out.
And some cats.
Cat videos. Some cat videos. All kind of random shorts and whatnot. My most recent video is documenting my trip to the River City Steampunk Expo.
Bourbon City Steampunk Expo.
Is what it's going to be called next year, but this year it was still River City. So go check that out. See if you, you know, the entertainment we had, and sign up to go check that out next year. Get your energy drinks at StrikeForceEnergy.com, promo code CigarNerds. Get your shirts at RealMenSmokeCigars.com. And with that, on the Fury Road!
Peace!
And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.